Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Love is blind!
Sissies, are you watching Love is Blind and I need more podcast about Love is Blind to talk about these hot messes. Well, get the fuck ready because we've got a special interview with our friend Damona Hoffman. Damona, welcome to the show. I'm gonna read your bio before you start talking because as I told Jake, this is a real fucking bio,
yeah,
y'all.
I usually like put jokes in mine to see if people read it. And I don't think there's a joke in this. I think her bio is like straight up real.
Two truths and a lie.
Exactly.
So, y'all, Damona Hoffman is a regular contributor to the Drew Barrymore Show, heard of her, NPR, maybe, and The Washington Post. She's also featured in season 11 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Damona, she got out alive.
She got out alive on that one.
And I got a good edit, too. Woo! Okay.
Everybody was
like, I can't believe you went on that show. Like, they just eviscerate all of the experts. I was like, well, you don't give them anything to catch you with.
Exactly.
Exactly. Damona has created content and collaborated with most major dating apps, including Bumble and Match. And she was named the official
no
US
Grindr.
Dating.
No Grindr?
No Grindr.
I've never worked with Grindr.
Okay.
Okay, Cupid.
Okay. Okay, Cupid. No ground. Okay. What about Hole? Have you ever worked with just Hole?
The app
Damona?
Called Hole.
It's
our
Hole.
New. Is there? There's not. It's out.
Is it?
No.
There?
I just made that up to sell you a story.
Oh. I believed it.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me get
it's the app that I want to make, Damona. Just about finding Hole.
Let's talk about it after this.
So, and Damona was named the official U.S. dating coach of OkCupid in 2021. Her podcast, which I've been on, Dates and Mates, was named Best Podcast of the Year by the Black Podcasting Awards. And Damona's first book, which is so good, F the Fairy Tale, was released on January 2nd, 2023.
Actually, 24. That's a typo.
Oh,
see,
sorry.
There is a lie in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was released this year, January 2nd of 2024, and it is endorsed by Dr. Drew Pinsky, Drew Barrymore, Lori Gottlieb, and Matt Maher.
And more
of reality games. I just put myself with Lori Gottlieb and Drew Barrymore.
Marjorie Taylor Greene said she didn't read it, so she hasn't read it yet. So.
Tells you everything you need to know about the
y'all,
book.
Welcome to the show, and also someone who's become one of my really good friends who I do vision boards with, and we talk about woo-woo, wonderful energy stuff. My very good friend, Jake's friend too, Damona Hoffman. Thank you for being here.
Welcome, Damona. Published author, Damona. Damona Hoffman.
Published author.
Yes. All truths. No lies detected.
And it's not self-published. It's with an actual press.
It is actually a physical book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hatchet Seal Press.
Yes. You say Hachette, I believe.
You say Hachette.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh,
you know, I have a little background in publishing. Spoiler alert, I worked at a gay bookstore.
You bought poppers and gay porn for a gay bookstore.
I bought gay books from the publishers.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's wow. Okay, so I actually, you know, I went to your book launch with you, our friend Dr. James Simmons, who I love. I post on Ask the MP. I post about him all the time on Instagram and you. But we went to your book, and I just... for me, I asked you to come on the show, and then I talked to Jake about it. He was like, oh, yeah, because what you're talking about in F the Fairy Tale, because kind of the premise of the book is that old rules of dating and relationships kind of don't apply in this new world of dating has changed a lot. And I feel like it's so what you're talking about, because you talk about the four dating myths and replacing them with the four pillars of lasting love for healthy relationships. I think this applies. Jake and I talk about this all the time, that love is blind really is such a good a metaphor for online dating and things like that, because yeah, you see a picture, but do they really look like that? We don't know.
Love is Blind is trying to break the rules, but it doesn't break the rules.
I think you're perfect for this. So, kind of the first question going into this is, since you are literally
an expert,
and you've been watching Love is Blind, but what kind of going into this? What either couples or moments, what were kind of a two-part question? What was the biggest green flag you saw and the biggest red flag kind of so far in what you've seen in the show?
Ooh, that's a big question. Yeah. And I've been watching Love is Blind from the beginning. I did a show that was a spinoff of Married at First Sight called #BlackLove. And it's the same producers.
Yeah, Chris Cullen.
So it was they're just like trying to get the secret experiment sauce right. And I really think they nailed it with Love is Blind. Interestingly, this season, I feel like the contestants were the most self-aware of the fact that they were like on a show. Felt like other seasons, it was much more, I don't know, there was like a sweetness and organicness to it. And it felt more calculated this season. So like,
you mean how there was a guy who actually said, America's going to watch me?
Yeah. You saw where I was going with that. Yeah, I was like, that was a red flag. What the hell are you doing here? This is obviously not about the experiment anymore. So it wasn't necessarily a relationship red flag, but that was kind of a red flag of like, maybe we have jumped the shark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's been a discussion about people saying, well, maybe the show's run its course and maybe we can get, I'm like, I think it's adorable that the culture thinks they're going to be in charge of when a show's canceled. Because the numbers are still high, Sky. The producers, Sky.
We still going to watch it.
But yeah, I mean, also, when was it Jeremy who asked,
otherwise known as Jeremy, as we call him,
Jeremy in some circles. I don't know where. I'm going to start calling him Jeremy though.
Jeremy in Charlotte.
Jeremy.
That's how you pronounce Jeremy in Charlotte. So I think it was him that asked about somebody's social media following too, and I was like,
I forgot about that, Timona. Fuck.
I've got to really look for the green flags this season because I can't seem to find them in this stew.
Nothing with Amy and Johnny even? They seem to be like
I'm just like, I started fast forwarding.
Yeah. You're not alone. You're not alone because
they're like, oh, that's nice. Y'all are cute. Wait, like,
you're like, I want mess.
We look for the train wrecks. So we look for the Chelseas.
It's a show. We're watching a show. But yes, I mean, so many green flags with them. And I think both of them also acknowledged that once they met, they were not necessarily one another's type.
Yeah.
But that they really leaned into the experiment and what it was set up to do, to show that love could be blind. A lot of the other people this season, I felt like, leaned away from that concept. Mm.
When they would ask, you know, my favorite question about that is Shake asking, if we're at a music festival, could I lift you over my head and put you on my shoulders?
Like,
okay.
Just okay. The biggest D-bag question you can ever ask.
Also, it's a TV show. So obviously you can lift them all over each other. Yeah. Like that's the other thing that is kind of frustrating. And I'm sure it's frustrating for a lot of your listeners too. It's like all of the people are still very TV friendly. Yeah. That's how I used to say it when I was a castaway.
I wanted to bring that up because I'm not going to tell the story because I want people to read it in your book. Yeah, I want people. Is there an audio book? Can people do Audible, by the way?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
And I read it.
Yay!
Great. Just my voice. If you like this voice, you'll get 7 more hours of it.
It's very sultry. Well,
and we didn't talk about this in our notes, Jake, but I want to bring up for Damona because I heard you read it and I've read it, but you talk about how you, and let people read the book, but I didn't know this about you, is that you had a lot of experience in television. I knew you worked in development, but you also worked in casting. So what is this? So I feel like you more than anyone get the dynamics of this show, of the push and pull of how do we make good TV and like, and make
how
us
do we,
think
how
it's
do
a
we,
real experiment,
how do we cast
but it's not
it? How do we cast
show?
It to where it feels like still an entertaining television show, but how do we cast it so we can maybe eke out 2 couples?
Yeah. It's tricky. Yeah. It's really tricky because also everybody has to go through psych, which somebody else, a psych evaluation, somebody mentioned this season too.
yes, they did.
I'm like, we are just pulling the curtain back
they
on
are.
All of the reality TV tricks. But yeah, I mean, so they got to be a little bit crazy to give us some story, but they can't be too crazy because we're not trying to have any lawsuits.
I'm still amazed Lydia passed the psych eval from last season. I thought she snuck through.
You know what? She was like my favorite for the, she was so funny.
Yeah.
The first few episodes, I was like, I love her. We're going to be friends. And I was like, bitch, I don't know
and
you.
By episode 4, it's like single white female. Yeah. She's just like petting Aaliyah's head and like a cat. And you're like thinking, how did I go so wrong? Yeah.
Right? I have been wrong about a few of the contestants. But yeah, I did start as a casting director, and that's actually what led me into being a dating coach, because I used to teach classes for actors in marketing and have them see how their headshot could tell their story, could be the thing that got them in the door. And I was online dating at the
time. One of the best things you could teach actors is marketing themselves.
Yeah, and at that time, nobody was talking about personal branding, anything. Yeah. Nobody else was doing that. So I taught personal branding for actors and audition techniques. And as I was online dating, I realized a profile photo is a headshot. A first date is an audition. So I was able to use what I was learning professionally in my own dating experience. And that's what led me into this whole path. But when you're casting for a reality show, first of all, they also have to be casting for compatibility. And I did a little bit of this when I wrote for the Washington Post Date Lab. Initially, when I started out, they brought me in because I was a dating professional who could also write. Previously, the Washington Post Date Lab, RIP, the column got discontinued. The whole magazine got discontinued a year ago. But it had been running for about 14 years.
Wow.
And it had always been Washington Post writers that, like, journalists that were like, we're going to be a matchmaker. And they would just kind of pull from this database. And it had a reputation of always being just an absolute train wreck. Mm-hmm. And nobody stayed together. And so they brought me in because I had the matchmaking background and dating coaching background. And I could find people who were more compatible. So when I came in all Pollyanna, I was like, yes, we're going to make lasting relationships through the Washington Post Date Lab. It's going to be an amazing story. And I would pair people with the people that I thought they would be most compatible with. And I soon figured out that that didn't matter at all because once they would get to the date and they'd just be like I had one of the first ones I worked on, the guy was just like, yeah, I didn't find her attractive.
Yep.
So like he just gave nothing from the beginning. It was so hard to write that article because there was nothing to write about. So after that, I was like, okay, let's start with their types, their physical types, or like the people that they are attracted to. And let's match that first. And then we'll go down the list of other interests or values or like the pillars that I talk about in my book. Because when you're matching for entertainment purposes, I needed that instant moment of I saw her across the room and I was like, this is my person. And I needed that energy to carry the date. And that's really what they're doing on Love is Blind. They're trying to create those powder keg moments. And if a lasting relationship comes of it, great. But you have to kind of give people what they think they want. Because if you give them what they really want, they're going to reject it.
That is the saddest truth about humanity. Is
truth.
You just described poodle.
Especially if you, or even that, what you think you want, and if you give someone what they need, they're definitely going to reject it.
Because we're both bad at that, I would say.
The thing about, you're exactly right, is you have to give them, you have to give the audience something to kind of hang on to before you can build anything. Because if two people, you can tell two people have no chemistry, the audience is just out. Yeah.
Well, I feel like this kind of goes hand in hand, like what you talk about, the soulmate myth, meaning that, like, because we feel like Love is Blind castmates, you just said it, they often talk about either their person or this predestined,
especially in
this season too. We had this is one of the most religious group of people
here
in the South. So like God's guiding this and
God's hand is on me.
And like, so what? Like, so then they talk about their soulmate. So what, how do you feel about the word soulmate?
Well, since you came to my book launch and have read the book, you know that I do not believe in soulmates. In the traditional
sense. Demona.
And you have a statistic. Jake read this and Jake, I was kind of not paying attention and I heard Jake go, fuck. And I went, what? And he said, 70% of people believe in soulmates?
I went, God, there are that many deluded people out there.
Yeah, because we have bought into the fairy tale. We've bought into the rom-com. And we're like, first of all, this idea that love is supposed to be easy. It's supposed to just magically happen. You're going to know. And the bells are going to go off. And the doves are going to fly down. And it keeps a lot of people from really being able to step into that experience of dating. And I look at dating as really a process of education, self-education and transformation. If you're willing to lean into that, which I think some of the people in this season of Love is Blind were, and some were not. But if you're willing to lean into it, and people can do this in their own dating and relationship lives, relationships are our greatest, they're a mirror. They will show our greatest 100%. Strengths, and they'll also illuminate, you know, our problem areas.
little cracks.
Things that need a little work, you know? And that is really the failing of the soulmate myth is this idea that's, one, you're going to know right out of the gate, and two, that there is just one. Right. That sounds exhausting to me. Like my soul is going to scour the earth to find the one perfect person that completes me. And then you meet somebody who's really great and you're sitting there going, well, oh, I didn't hear the bells. Right. The doves didn't come down. So is this my person? And then you miss what's right in front of you because a soulmate has to be chosen. A soulmate has to be built every day.
Yeah. And it's,
oh, wow.
You have to, it's like, imagine you're in the pods. You've got to make the choice at some point.
Right.
Am I going to get down on one knee? That is honestly the corniest thing.
When they do it through the
wall.
You
know what I want to see? and through the wall. You know what I want to see? This is one thing that really burns my biscuits about Love is Blind.
Nothing is worse than burnt biscuits, by the way. Nothing.
What is worse than burnt biscuits is the fact that the man has to propose every time.
Yeah, it's,
what are we even doing?
It's happened one time that Gigi in the first Janina proposed to Damien. That was,
and we saw how that worked out. chasing him around
and falling and getting her dress muddy.
Worked out for
she
her.
Didn't pay for it. Didn't matter.
She's with Blake from The Bachelor now. She's fine.
Yeah, dyed her hair brown. They have a baby, I think, now.
Do you know, Demona, we found out the casting found her. Because I always say she probably owns some kind of like boutique shop or she works in clothing.
Jake went on and on.
I loved her.
He was like, she's a businesswoman. She is successful.
I thought she was a reality show find because she was so. And I still believe she's a reality show find. They found her working at a cell phone kiosk in the mall.
No, not a cell phone. A hair straightening kiosk.
Hair
extension kiosk in a mall.
What?
The casting found her working.
And what did they say her profession was? They said entrepreneur.
Yes. Yeah. They said, yes. And Jake was like, Jake said she owns a store. She's a proprietor.
I was so convinced that she was like, how Gigi sold herself.
But that's such a metaphor, the smoke and mirrors.
She's still one of my favorite cast members of all time because she was nutty and her little, she cried so easily, and she was also a little loony.
She loved so hard.
She loved so hard. And you brought this up. You talked about rom-coms because Jake Book said, do you want to scream with your quote?
I scream when people say it's like happened in The Notebook, and I scream, The Notebook isn't real. It's not real.
Oh my gosh. I just saw The Notebook for the first time like two months ago. And I was like, this was The Notebook? This is what we're excited about?
Yes.
Well, and it goes with the whole, I want to talk about the chemistry myth because you're talking about the lie that's been sold. But what I thought was interesting is that you say that we should feel, because they talk about this on Love is Blind is all about chemistry. Like, we don't need physical attraction for chemistry and that it doesn't matter. Whereas you talk about that rom-com sold us a lie that we should feel this instant chemistry and that when we meet our person, but you actually say feeling butterflies can be a bad sign. And I read that. That kind of blew my mind. Why do you think butterflies are a bad sign?
Butterflies are a chemical, physical reaction that's happening. And the trouble with reading the butterflies is that we have not really been conditioned to understand the signals in our body. We are completely cut off for the most part. Most of us walk through the world completely cut off from our intuition, from our gut instincts, from what is even happening interoceptive level in our body, meaning like what's happening inside of our bodies. And one of the things that I do actually when I'm coaching daters is to get them reconnected to that, because we feel something and we're like, oh, I feel queasy, uneasy. My heart rate is going up. And we go, okay, that must mean this is the person. This is it. And really, that heart rate increase could be your fight or flight response. That could be your body being like, this person is bad for you. This person reminds you of your abusive father or your crazy ex or, you know, something that is familiar to us. Mm. And we just don't have the language to really decipher what that feeling means.
Whoa. Didn't expect to
that
be. Did not expect to be
mind.
Read by Damona. Whoa. There's a certain type of man I know that's really bad for me. And that kind of feeling happens. And so I do have to go against some of those original butterflies. I have to,
And I wrote about this because I've lived it too. Yeah. Like I've leaned into the butterflies.
Well, how could any woman, person of color, queer person, sexual trauma survivor, how can any of us not? Because as you're talking, I'm going, you know, as someone experiencing like sexual abuse, one of my first memories of physicality is that it's wrong. It was abusive. So if I'm going into relationships, I'm like, oh, you just kind of blew my mind. I went, oh, fuck. Am I taking that into physicality and things like that when I'm meeting someone? Because my body is literally saying, this is not right for you. And we learn early on, these people, like I said, all these people I just listed and more, we just learn quickly, especially women, to disassociate from our bodies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just said a mouthful. The answer to that question is probably, and it's not your fault. Yeah. And also,
that part,
it is up to you to shift it. Yeah. And that is the hardest part, is first just acknowledging that it's there, and then...
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not.
When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit.
Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
Making a conscious choice to choose differently, to choose responding instead of reacting. And that's why the answer to that in F the Fairy Tale is really just to slow down, to practice slow love. And that's my major gripe with Love is Blind. They're doing all of this really deep work.
In like 3 weeks or a month. Yeah.
It's too fast. Now, of course, as a TV personality and producer, I understand why, you know, but I was just thinking about this the other day, the number of relationships from Love is Blind that might actually have worked if they didn't have to make that decision at the altar in that moment,
after three weeks of knowing each other. Like they say. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know how you recover from that. I mean, I know there were some couples that sort of recovered. I mean, I guess like, what was it? SK and...
They're together now. SK and Raven are together.
Again?
Yeah. They're back together. Y'all. Yeah, they're living together.
Y'all. But just to...
She deserves much more. I know.
Oh, Raven.
I can't...
That's a whole other...
I will always be a Raven apologist from day one.
Man.
But just imagine if they had had the time, because they had a lot of stuff to contend with of like cultural differences and just... So there was so much in that relationship that
girlfriend.
Had to be explored.
Just little things.
Wait,
like
before?
That. Basically in between.
SK had a girlfriend.
In between. And in between.
When he moved. Yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously. Yes. And then that. Okay. So this is why also in F the Fairy Tale, I say you got to start with shared goals for the future. Like, they were not set up for success. Like, okay, you're going to meet and marry. You have to make a decision at the altar. Also, he's going to go for 2 years
to Berkeley.
Clear across the country. Good luck to you. It's like, that was an impossible situation.
It was doomed from the start. Well, you're right.
He had no business being on the show. The timing was wrong. But like, but he also like, again, one of the other myths that you talk about is, and this actually, because Jake's even talked about, or we both talked about like, we both said like the list myth, if we're talking about that, what is interesting about this, a lot of people that have been bad with dating often find that doing a list is actually a good thing because you're writing down a list, you're not being emotional about it, you're trying to think with your head, not your heart. But you talk about
that the listsmith is like AD. And I want to bring this up. AD is someone who said, I'm a fix-a-ho. Hi, AD.
Boy, don't too. You just want to take her aside to Mona and just take her away from everything she knows and just sit and talk with her for a couple of weeks?
I do too. But she, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, my husband watches this show with me. This is like one of the only shows we watch together. And he, like, from jump, he was like, I don't know about Clay. Like, he had Clay's number from the beginning. So if you really want to know somebody's character, you introduce them to Seth Hoffman. But what I'll say about the listsmith, just to clarify, it's not that I'm saying we don't need criteria to evaluate our dates based on. We absolutely need that. I'm saying let's look at what's on that list, because in my work, I see a lot of people carry the same list over and over. And it's like, that you borrowed that list. Right. Like, Jess's list is Chelsea's list, is, you know,
everyone's list. I want to have fun. I want someone who makes me laugh. I want someone who's got a good job, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's...
Well, and also familial, not even your friends. It's what your family wants for you and things like that we carry into that as well.
And societal expectations, what society expects 100%. Us to have. It's interesting when you're talking about lists, I'm currently in a relationship, and I remember before I met this guy in the summer, I was just kind of thinking about it, and I have like a list of what I wrote down, and I'm like, fuck this list, F this list. And I said, what are some things that I just need from my partner, that things that I would need to make me better and to make me feel safe and trust. And I wrote down things like kindness, validation, but can call me on bullshit, and things like that.
Money.
And
lots of money.
Those were on previous lists, actually.
As
someone who preferably does not have parents living. No, I'm just kidding. An orphan?
To disapprove. Yeah.
Or adult children with lawyers. Oh, the lawyers. No, the children with lawyers. But no, I started dating, not that I really, but I started dating someone who is very kind. And that was, and to me, that goes heads above almost everything. And
you're really hitting the nail on the head, because what I talk about in the book is thinking of how you want to feel in the relationship, not what do I want on the resume of the person,
like CV.
what am I showing off to people, but who is this person at their core, and how will I feel when I'm with them? And you know, I have different ways of accessing that. You mentioned we do vision boards together. It could be a vision board. It could be a narrative. I wrote all kinds of narratives. Like, I write these living visions of how I want my life to look like in the future. I do it like every 6 months. I had a living vision for my husband. I had things like kindness on a sort of list in a way. I did it in a feng shui way, but I really pull from East and Western philosophy, because I think all of it imprints on how we show up. And it's like your thoughts will order your actions, and then your actions will create your reality. And so we have to be willing to pick apart that list that we wrote, and also not just take the same list that we had maybe 5 years ago, last time we were single, and be like, well, I guess this is still the list. Like, you change. You're a dynamic and ever-evolving creature. So the list is going to change. But, you know, the list is probably not going to have a lot of physical traits on it, or maybe any.
Really true.
Like a mullet is not on the list.
or I like them big and beefy.
A mullet and beefy. I know. She's like, oh, he's beefy. I was like, oh,
how long, Damona, could as a dating coach, how long would you need to work with Chelsea? if she showed up, were you like, could I double my price?
She would have to give me some sort of a device where we could communicate across the mile. She would have to buzz me.
Yeah, she has a brain receptor
20 times a night.
So when she thinks the wrong thing, you just buzz it and it shocks
yeah.
her.
Man, that was honestly the breakup scene, one of the breakup scenes that where he went out and somebody saw him and he was like out for an hour and the she just could not get out of her own way. That was one of the cringiest things I have ever watched on TV. And I was like, please give me more of that. Well, but seriously, she's like, but okay, I understand what you're saying, but also I don't know if you love me. Like, what? What?
It's working on, it's like her brain becomes so easily scrambled and it's just irrational feedback. Like, that's all it is. And it goes, it's terrifying to watch.
I actually sincerely have had the most compassion for Chelsea. I have been accused of being a Chelsea sympathizer.
Oh.
I know, because I see we all have our wounds and our scars, right? And I don't know what happened in that first marriage or in her, I know her relationship with her family is not great. Like all of that stuff imprints on us.
No, it's, she is a victim of her past. Yeah, definitely.
Completely.
Who is it?
That's true.
Who is it?
No, it's just, really? It's just, it's hard to see, it's hard to watch the cold light of the camera lens when it's on her and he's saying something that's like, yeah, I went out for an hour, and she's like, but you didn't ask me. And it's just like...
And then he's like, and I did ask you, and you were like, yeah, I'm going to sleep.
We also said that for every man who's ever said, girls are just crazy, and women who say, I hate it when guys say that, blah, 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 men go, there she is. And it's set women back at least 30 years.
And look how many guys fell for it, though.
100%.
Like, yeah.
She was that in the pods. I don't know if they just got...
She was a mirror.
I think, really.
She was a mirror. She was telling them exactly what they wanted to hear. Yeah.
And I think 100% you could see it in the moment when Jimmy asked her, I will stand by the fact that when she said, which celebrity... when she was like, people say I look like a celebrity. I looked at her and I went, Megan Fox. And then she was like, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, she doesn't look like Megan Fox. It's like, she looks like the reality TV version of Megan Fox.
It's dark hair. Dark hair, blue eyes. But why it was such a great TV moment is his face. Because all Jimmy, who is so literal, thought is, she looks like Megan Fox.
And that's what changed everything. From that point forward, I was like, he's in this because he thinks he's getting Megan Fox.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck my wife on a transformer. Or whatever he was fucking thinking. Well, because she was in
dangerous.
That movie. Because she was in that sound dangerous.
I want a transformer.
I love Jennifer's body. He never saw that movie.
No, I never saw
that. That's a great movie.
I want to talk about the last myth because we've got we're not going to get to all of our points because there's too much good stuff to talk. But I do at least want to get to, I want to talk, and you talk about Jimmy and Jeremy. You talk about the rules myth and dating hacks and also a competition with dating, like treating dating as a game to be won. And the rules, and so like the rules of dating of like, you don't call him on the first date, you don't do this, you don't. It did seem like, I don't know if he used rules, but it does seem like Jeremy looks at this as like a contest to be won. Talk about the rules myth.
I would posit that so does Laura. And that was why it was so disastrous.
That's a good point.
That was why it was so disastrous
for
them.
That's a really good point. I can see that, yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. And in their interactions, they were always calling each other out, one-upping each other.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jeremy. And you got to say the zh in the...
Jeremy.
This is just my personal pronunciation. Jeremy, my analysis is that he was not the guy in high school. Like, he was the one that got overlooked all the time. I would bet money he read in F the Fairy Tale, I talk about the rules and the game was sort of the, you know, heterosexual guy's answer to the rules.
The
of
game.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to do negging and I'm going to gaslight you. And they wouldn't say it in these terms, but that's what they were doing, gaslighting mm-hmm. and peacocking. He peacocks all over the
yeah,
all over the freaking
pod. Great word for it.
That's what he's doing. He's like showing off and
talking
like,
about how we're not going to sleep on our honeymoon. Yeah, things like that. Yep. Yep.
He would say provocative things just to see what reaction am I going to get out of her. He would provoke. And it's interesting. It really did work for him. In the end, because what he wanted was to feel like the belle of the ball. Like, that really fueled him because he was this, I assume, not that sought after guy. And then he finds fitness. He doesn't go to college, which is on a lot of gals' lists, yep. you know. That's and true. He found that he was desirable. Meanwhile, like, we haven't even talked about the fact that, like, he was already engaged before he
yeah, the engagement, and he just sold the house and he moved into and he just bought two Roombas and that was it.
Yeah. And that's why he looked like he lived like a serial
yeah,
killer.
Exactly.
Sarah Ann and Jeremy, we wish you the best.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was definitely playing the game and he was doing some textbook, very detrimental manipulative techniques that as a professional I could see all over. But unfortunately, if you don't know where the landmines are,
yeah,
you end up stepping on them and you can get easily caught up by a lot of these techniques. So this is why I want to really eliminate this idea of playing by somebody else's rule book and why in F the Fairy Tale, I'm giving people tools instead of rules because my rule book is not going to work for you. You know, it's not the same for each person. Everything builds on what came before it. First, we identify what we most want and need and how we want to feel in a relationship. Then we develop a plan to put ourselves in the path of a person that aligns with that. Then we can build the future, but you can't do it from a manipulative or competitive place.
Right. Where you're getting something for competitive, manipulative, where you're trying to win. You're going to be the one who wins and the person who you're with, you'll fight with constantly. And it's all about winning. Cause that's what it felt like for both him and Laura, but definitely for Jeremy. Yeah.
Definitely.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy. Okay. We're going to one kind of last question. Because I don't want to, but I know you're busy and you're an author. You're on the Drew
Barrymore
show. Yes, we're
published author, Damona Hoffman.
Jake and I both thought about this and I went, oh my God, Damona, you're the perfect person to talk to about this because something that bothers us. Well, Poodle, I'll let you kind of
talk about this. It happens on Love is Blind, but it also happens on every reality show these days. They, because of Brené Brown and a lot of other authors, vulnerability has become a buzzword. And now people think that vulnerability is just saying, when I was 8 years old, my mom died. And we call that on our show trauma dumping. That you just say, here, I'm sharing with you.
Very soon.
Yeah,
we should
very,
say very
early.
Soon.
And it's a way to kind of trade traumas to say that we're both broken, but that people think of that as vulnerability. But it's really not. It's just disarming someone to let you know that it's weird. And they do it in even on The Bachelor, they'll do it. Like someone will share something, and then the most recent Bachelor, Joey, will also try to share something that's somewhat akin to that. And it never really works because he's like golden boy and he doesn't really have a lot of problems. But the women have tons of problems. And it's trauma dumping because you're not really being vulnerable because you don't really trust this person yet.
But I think it keys into the reason why we talked about this because you talk about like bringing humanity back to dating and using empathy. So I think what I'm interested in is how do you date with empathy, but not this trauma dumping and not this, you know, people use the word trauma bond now. It's not even used.
It's not used correctly, but yeah.
But it is kind of correct now because now trauma bonding is when two people bond with a shared, that's more shared trauma. Anyway, how do we bring in empathy, but not in this type of way?
Yeah.
Let me put empathy aside for 1 second because I do think it's important in dating, but I feel like I need to define the empathy. I need to define it as I do in the book. But first, I just want to address the trauma dumping or the oversharing.
Yes,
I call it like, you know, baggage checking.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like
here's my suitcases on the first date. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
They got 2 bags to check. You're like, oh, that's too much bags. We're only gone for the weekend, honey.
It's a weekend trip, bitch.
There's a whole trip of pet boxes behind you.
Bitch, we just go to Santa Barbara. You got a trunk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But people do that because, get this, we are afraid of rejection. So mm-hmm. we think if I bring all my bags to the first or second date and they love me and all the stuff in my bags, then we're okay. But what I say in the book is that information needs to be earned.
Yes.
You don't owe everybody your life story.
Say that again.
That's really important.
Please.
Information needs to be earned. So like I tell the story in the book about a client who had a very traumatic, actual traumatic divorce and her husband cheated on her. And I earned the story because I was her dating coach, but she went on a first date and this guy was like, so why'd you get divorced? And she was like, well,
oh no,
there's this thing that happened. And I was like, why'd you tell him that? And she was just like, I don't know, because a lot of people are conditioned to be nice. Like, oh, if somebody asks me a question, then I'm obligated to answer it honestly. Like, I have to be honest, right? That's what happened. Mm. But you can be honest, but also you can omit details that the person hasn't earned. And the other thing that was going on in that situation is that a lot of times people don't know the question that they're asking. They're not asking the question they're actually asking. What he's asking is, bitch, are you crazy? Are you Chelsea?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he's really saying. Like, oh, you were divorced.
Is it your fault
somebody
you
else,
got divorced?
Why did someone?
Yeah, somebody else tossed
why
you back.
Why did someone
so why?
Kick you to the curb? Why? What's wrong with you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so really, he's just trying to shortcut. This is his rules, right? He's trying to shortcut the process. And I gave her the language in that situation to just say, why would I talk about my divorce when I'm here with a handsome guy like
what
you?
What a great response.
You can always turn it around because really that person, he's not really wanting to hear about your divorce. He wants to hear that you're into him, that you find him attractive, and that, you know, you are somebody that's going to make him feel better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really why we get into relationships, right? Like how we want to feel in the relationship. He wants to feel special. He doesn't want to feel like, ugh, this now I have all of this information about her marriage failing that I don't even know what to do with that. So, I mean, I take it with a grain of salt on reality shows, having worked behind the scenes on reality shows and knowing how it's editing. It's producers definitely poking the bear a little bit for story. But at the same time, people are in control of what they share. As someone who got the good edit on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and who's worked on other reality shows before, I'm like, they can't cut what you don't give them.
Exactly. You can complain about the edit, but you said it.
You said it. And I especially think in a situation like The Bachelor, where it is such a pressure cooker, where it's not Love is Blind, where you're behind a wall. And even though you see the other people they're dating, you don't know necessarily who's dating who unless Laura comes up to you and tries to start some shit.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Which she will. There's always somebody that's like, oh, girl, I got to tell you something. It's like, okay, you're inserting yourself.
That person's called Poodle on a reality show.
I would get in there and fuck shit up.
And you're going to use that line of, why would I talk about my divorces when I'm here with a handsome man? You're just going to use that.
And then you'll be like, do you know what Jeremy told me? I said that.
Poodle.
Yeah.
Talk about empathy though, because I want to leave people on a positive note of something to give them a tool. So they're like, I'm going to die alone.
No, it's not been negative. What you're doing, you're spouting real truths about this. And what's your book's called F the Fairy Tale, because everyone needs to get down to fucking earth. And that's what you're saying. And so it's not by no means is it negative. It's just real talk that people need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. And a woman named Drew Barrymore, I don't know if you've heard of her, she said that this book is hope with a roadmap.
Yeah.
So
it is hope with a roadmap. Oh, I agree.
So
hope
I do
with a roadmap.
People.
That's my Drew Barrymore. Sorry. You can use that. Hope with a roadmap. I had that.
That was good. So what I really want to do and why I bring up empathy is there are so many people lost, frustrated, discouraged, disappointed with dating today. That's why the title is F the Fairy Tale. I really wanted to capture that energy that people are having towards dating. But the subtitle of the book is Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story. And I think when we take that responsibility for we are co-creating our love story. We are co-creating our experience with the person or people sitting across from us, with the universe, with Drew Barrymore. We are an active character in this story. And there are also other characters in the story. So we tend to write our love story as we are the protagonist. Everybody else is just a bit player and they're just feeding into my narrative. No, you're the narrator, but you have to take into account that other people have their own stories, have their own checked baggage and trauma that they're bringing to the table. And when you can do that and you can authentically come to the table as you with all your stuff, doesn't mean you share it all the time, but when you can hold that with empathy for yourself and also with empathy for the other person, however they show up, it really takes the anxiety and the frustration away, because then you're just a human having a human experience. You're not trying to get to the end of the story. You're writing it in real time.
Oof. Laying it out. I love
it. Lay it out. Damona
Sorry
Hoffman.
To get so
All right.
Deep.
Last question. I'm going to let Poodle ask this last question because I know he's been dying to ask.
We just want
to
ask you last thing as we end all of our episodes. We ask you, Damona, is love blind?
And for once, we're going to get an answer.
You're going to tell
us. Love is not blind. Love is deaf, apparently.
Love is deaf. Love is deaf.
Like, what'd you say?
Trifle deaf in my left ear here.
Oh.
Love is deaf.
What'd you say? You look like Megan Fox?
Yeah. 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 Sure.
You wanted a real answer?
Yeah, kind of.
No, absolutely not. Love is not blind. I love the experiment of this. I love it when people can sort of suspend their judgment in dating for longer.
Yeah. That's the most successful thing about the show.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If you practice slow love, you can have a deeper level of discovery. But ultimately, on the surface of what they mean by love is blind, no, the physicality always matters. People will always say to me, as someone who started as an online dating coach, oh, well, I hate dating apps because it's all about the physical. And people won't match you unless they're physically attracted.
That's not
true. Like, hello, have you lived in the world? Yeah. How long have you lived in the world? This is how it's always been. It's just on hyperspeed.
It's on the same way
app.
In a bar at 11 p.m. Somebody's not looking at you going, oh, she looks like she volunteers at church. No one does that. They're going, nice rack, yeah. Lady.
I'm sitting over here sucking down my third vodka soda. I assaulting you to say.
Just looking at your package.
It is 12:30. You're the third string, but you're looking better than the others right now.
You're like Laura. You're just staring at
I
them.
Just stare at you at a bar.
And then love is deaf.
Love is deaf.
Damona Hoffman, thank
this
you.
Has been
so we
wonderful,
could talk to you two more
Damona.
Hours.
Oh, thank you it's for having me. It's always good to be with both of you. And I love the show. So thank you so much for having me.
When I'm not ready to date yet, but when I am, bitch knows I'm calling her.
Ooh,
so
I want to
send me a signal on our little devices. That
your bracelet.
Yeah, Jake keeps saying he wants to give me dating advice, but the problem is he'll end up fucking the guy I go on the date with.
Well, I'll just say you're not right for each other when I show up, and he'd be better for me in the bathroom.
It's a good test.
Yeah, it's a good test.
It's a different reality show. But,
different reality show. Yeah,
if I don't, yeah. Right, don't want to steal him, you know he's for you.
No, he's for you. All right, everybody. Damona Hoffman, thank you so much. Get your copy, sissies, of F the Fairy Tale. You can get it from your favorite bookseller. It's out everywhere now. It's been out since January. And you can listen to Dates and Mates podcast. That's datesandmates.com. And Damona, you can find all her at Damona Hoffman with two F's on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We were banned from TikTok, so I'm glad you're still on.
Really?
We have no idea
why. We have no idea why.
No idea.
They hate it's homophobia.
I have some ideas. No.
straight up homophobia.
We gotta talk about that later.
I know. We gotta talk about that. All right, Damona, I love you, friend. Thank you so much for being here today.
I love you too. Thank
y'all,
you.
F the fairy tale, and we'll see you around the bend. Bye.